brand new week. Hello on this Monday morning. How are you, Roo?
Yeah, good, Dits. Ready for a warm one today. About, what is it today? 34?
Yes.
35 around town. Yep. And a lot hotter in other parts of South Australia.
And speaking of which, with these conditions, good luck to everyone in New South Wales today. Let's hope you're in for a better day. And we see where Sydney, there's a catastrophic warning for the city of Sydney. So it's affecting a lot of people in New South Wales, these fires, Roo.
Sure is. 72 fires burning yesterday, half of those out of control.
Yeah.
So, our hearts and heads and everything's out there for them.
Yep,
hopefully
indeed.
They get through it all right.
Now, today, Remembrance Day, Roo. Big day, significant day for a lot of us around the world. I know that, at 11 minutes past 11 today, we will remember. But significant day in my house. Lucky Kate's birthday today.
Oh,
big, big day.
You should and remember
she,
that then.
Yeah, you? Exactly. It's easy to remember. And she shares it with Demi Moore and Leonardo DiCaprio. There you go. The 11th of November.
Beautiful.
A couple of famous birthdays.
Make sure you're on your best behaviour.
I'll try my best. What else is, what's coming up today, Roo?
We've got a big show of Peter Ford. We've got the Angels. We've got Monday Talkback. We're going to have a chat to Limo for a laugh. We're going to talk about the fires, the desal plant. Plenty of stuff happening.
Action-packed. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Hey, Roo, we were talking about the desal plant last week. It's still in the news. It'll be in the news for a while. And Steve Marshall seems to have done a good deal or struck a good deal with the federal government because they're paying for everything at the moment with our desal plant. Good question. I think it was a letter to the editor this morning I was reading earlier. If it costs $88,000 a day when it's sitting dormant, what does it cost a day when it's actually up and running?
Yeah, not sure. Hopefully not a lot more. But we are going to pump out 100 billion litres of water over the next couple of years, which is $100 million worth of water.
Yeah.
And it's going to go to the drought-affected areas as much as possible. So they'll be able to pull the water as it's running past their properties. And we'll be able to create more water down here with the desal plant and so that we can use so that the net result is equal for the river.
Hmm.
So it's a win-win for everyone.
Yep.
At the taxpayer's expense, I might add. So we're all paying for it through that. But that's fine. It's a good thing to do in times like this when we're having one of our worst droughts in history.
Well, if ever you're going to use a desal plant, it's right now, isn't it?
Sure is, even though we've got plenty of water here in South Australia, and that's probably what it was built for. But if we can help our interstate colleagues, well, then I think it's a tick in the box for South Australians.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, something different. Remember a few weeks ago we spoke to Sturt footballer Zane Kirkwood. He was about to, I think, bike ride, walk, skateboard. He was doing a lot from WA across to South Australia.
Yeah, he got here yesterday. 23 days.
It took and now him. He's sleeping.
Now he's got the blisters and a very sore body today. He'd be absolutely cooked after putting his mind to the test to be able to do that. All for mental health. He raised $36,000 that we know of.
Good on him.
And we might try and chat to him over the next couple of days, which will be interesting.
Yeah.
They're still doing more research on the virus, the herpes virus that they were thinking about putting into the river to get rid of the carp.
Right.
They've found out that if you got a heap of utes, utilities,
yeah,
and you filled up the back of the ute full of carp, and you got all the carp out of the river into those utes, how long do you think the lineup of utes would be? Now, that's a tough one for you.
You love
to
these questions. Yeah, this is a complicated
this is my
one.
Only. This is my stat man to you.
This is a bit of a complicated
before we do
one.
Stat
so
man.
We got utes.
So you got utes filling up with carp with all the carp in the river.
All right. What are the cubic meters at the back of each ute?
Just say.
All right. 10 miles long of utes.
1,000 kilometers.
1,000 kilometers.
Adelaide to Birdsville.
Hell. Full of carp.
That's how many carp they think are in the river. 500 kilos per hectare.
Gee.
So they're still trying to do the maths on whether they can put the herpes virus into the river and actually get the carp out before it kills the oxygen and kills the native fish and kills everything else.
Yeah, right.
So this has been going on since 2016, this idea of killing the carp, Barnaby Joyce's idea. So we'll wait and find out. And we said before, we know the fires are burning out of control in New South Wales and Queensland, and Sydney's under extreme danger today. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show.
Saying catastrophic, which is a brand new level, if you like, as far as national disasters are concerned. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Rightio, Australia A take on Pakistan in a three-day night tour match in Perth today, with SA's Travis Head and Alex Carey keen on impressing selectors. Carey will skipper the side. Six batsmen are vying for just two vacancy in the Aussie Test team, with selectors needing an opener to partner David Warner and a batsman to slot into number five when the series against Pakistan starts later this month. In the tennis, Australia's 45-year Fed Cup drought continues, with a doubles pairing of Ash Barty and Sam Stosur losing their decider to France in straight sets in Perth.
Yeah, did you see that? It was. Ash Barty won her first singles, Love and Love, destroyed the
French
girl. Best
game she's ever played, she
said. And then in the reverse singles, went down. So, bit of a shock.
To number 40 in the world. Adelaide United's Riley McGee scored the winner in the 84th minute as the Reds took care of business in the 1-0 win over Brisbane Roar.
That's a great win. They needed that.
Yeah, the 36ers went down to Melbourne United 109-90 in a road match at Melbourne Arena. They had a bad third quarter, I think, didn't they?
Yep.
Got outscored by 15. Scott McLaughlin is now a two-time Supercars champion after finishing ninth at the Sandown 500, won by Jamie Wincup and Craig Lowndes.
Yep. Hey, just go back to cricket for a moment, Roo. What about this girl, Sophie Devine, over the weekend? Can you believe it? The Adelaide Strikers at Karen Rolton Oval were playing against the Melbourne Stars. She's led them to a 17-run win, if you don't mind, by hitting five sixes in a row.
She gets a fully and whacks it straight over the fence. Leggy. Line goes straight this time, and six more. Super Soph. Has got plenty of that.
That is serious hitting.
Gets one and goes straight and turns her back and says, I've got enough of that. There's four in a row. Oh no, she's gone again. Five massive sixes to finish the game.
That's incredible.
It was big hitting, that what last one. Anyone who's played cricket, you can just hear the noise of that last six. It was right out of the middle.
It was, beautiful stuff. Big well done, Sophie Devine. That's not easy to do. And here's Riley McGree scoring the winner for Adelaide United.
James Troisi. Oh, it must be. It is Riley McGree. And Adelaide United finally break the deadlock in the 84th minute.
Great stuff. That's our look at sport. Just as we go to this next song, Roo, you know, Rob Thomas was in Adelaide last night. In fact, not Adelaide, but he was at a day on the green, and apparently a great night. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Robert.
On Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Not really enough for argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Oh, so many people lining up to have their say on 133353. Let's go to our first caller, Roo.
Hello, good morning.
G'day, Roo. How you going, mate?
Good. Is that you, Muzz?
Yes, Murray on the Murray.
How are you?
All right. Yeah, all right. And go, oh, well, you know, the weather's heating up and we've got, you know, a bit of drought up in the country areas.
Oh, it never ends.
Now the Murray's full of carp.
But Roo's trying to get herpes introduced into the system there, Muzz, to help you out.
Or maybe you could see someone down in Hindley Street about that.
Yeah, well, probably, yeah.
But you know what? I'm talking to the tripod.
Yeah. Now, do I really want to know why you call him the tripod?
Well, no, you don't, actually.
No, I didn't think so. No.
But what the tripod reckons is that, you know, you have those utes full of the fish.
Yeah.
That's 1,000 kilometres if you put them back to back.
Hang on. Before we go any further, people might have missed that earlier this morning. Can you just explain that again?
Well, you got all the carp out of the river and you tipped them into backs of utes, utes would be lined up from Adelaide to Birdsville.
That's how many carp there are. All right, carry on, Murray. Sorry about that.
Why don't you just put them on a train and then that would... Then it'd be half of that.
Yeah.
Because it's probably a tripod, reckon.
Is it probably almost a train track to Birdsville, is it?
I think it was a hypothetical, Murray. I don't think he's actually going to put them in the back of utes. What he was saying was, if you did, that's how far the ute line would stretch.
Well, I reckon also blue-green algae patches could form if that virus gets in. It's tough up here, boys. Anyway, yes. We're not ringing up for an hour.
No. These are the things you've got to deal with on the land, Muzz.
Yeah, all right, boys.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks for calling in.
See you, Muzz.
Righto.
See you.
Who's our next caller? Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Tex.
How are you, dad?
The new father. Well done, Tex.
Yeah, I haven't had much sleep.
Haven't you?
You sound a bit tired.
Oh, hey, when you go to bed at 4,
yeah,
are you going to bed early or are you going to bed late?
Well, is it 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.?
Well, 4 a.m.
Oh, that's late.
That's a bit late,
that's late, Tex.
Or is it early?
Yeah. Late. And if
it's all good, though.
You've got pre-season training starting this week, you'll need some sleep. What are you going
to
do?
I'll have to get an afternoon nap or something. I don't know. Yeah. But it's good, though, ruining it. They're great, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Little Hugo going all right, doing the right thing, is he?
Hugo. Ellie's good. Hugo, James. Boys are happy and I'm happy, so what else do you want? You know? I just thought I'd ring up and say hello because I'm wake up early. You know?
Yeah, we might try and chat with you again tomorrow.
All right, I'd love that, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, hey, what's blue and smells like red paint?
Blue and smells like red paint.
No, what is it?
Blue paint. See, boys.
Well, all paint smells the same, doesn't it? I presume that's where he's heading with that one.
He's an idiot, right?
He's a clever idiot.
Yeah, let's go to our next caller. He is sleep deprived. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
He's right. Oh, red paint does smell like red paint.
Right. I'm sure it does.
Helen?
Helen, hello, Helen. How are you?
One of my rooms is painted red.
Yes.
Oh,
one
yeah.
is blue.
Right.
ScoMo's coming to town. I love him.
Do you?
What do you like, ScoMo?
I love the shape of his head.
You like pit bulls, do you?
He's strong. He's big.
Yeah.
Big head on him.
Mm.
Anyway, just I wanted to advertise, boys.
Mm.
There are free showers this week down at the business in Hindley Street.
Right. Why is that?
Desalination.
Right. Now that we've got some water. Yeah. Right.
So I'll see you down there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Helen. Free showers down there.
Hey, you know Helen's tip for the Melbourne Cup last week, surprise baby?
Yeah.
Would have won with another 50.
Yeah,
metres.
I know. Yeah. She was
Imagine
almost on the
Helen.
Money. Right. Time for one more call. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, rule boy.
Hello.
Hello, Ginger Nuts.
Hello. Gee, the restaurant's up and firing early this morning.
Well, you know, I've been very excited down here at the restaurant down in Goodger Street because I tell you why, we have very special on this week. All week. You come in and you get as much southern bluefin tuna as you want.
Really?
Bluefin tuna?
Why is it? Where have you got that from?
Some young man come in with a full of buckets, bucket after bucket and container full. He said, I've got some southern bluefin tuna for you.
Yeah.
I bought a whole lot of him.
Yeah, Tommy.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Do you know who a young lad got done for pinching tuna down at Victor Harbour out of the tourist attraction down there?
What?
No.
What you say? This man, he said he'd get it out of a very special fishing hole.
Yeah, he
yeah,
did.
Very special,
he did.
Yeah.
Very plentiful. He said they were biting beautifully that day.
Yes, that's because there's about 1,000 of them in a little cage.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you got stolen goods there, Tommy.
Oh, I see you down here anyway, boys.
Righto. All right.
Get
Thanks,
rid of
Tommy.
It quick. Get rid of it real
Tommy
quick, Tommy.
Tommy. What was that story, Ruth?
Well, the bloke has gone and chucked his rod into the tourist attraction, the tuna enclosure.
Is that the swim with the tuna?
Yeah, he used to be in Port Lincoln, now it's down at Victor Harbour, and he got pinched on CCTV. And he's broken off hooks in tuna that are still swimming in the cage.
So Tommy's got his hands all over it.
Sounds like he's received some stolen goods, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Every year we do have a boys' trip. I take a Friday off work, and it started with a group of mates from Wakery, and then there's been a few ring-ins added to it from mates from Adelaide and around the countryside that join in on our trip to just have a weekend away to catch up with everyone. This year we'd have...
So how many of you are there?
There was 20-odd on Thursday, and I think we hit the early 30s on Friday and Saturday.
30 of you?
So there's a fair few. We've had two blokes had lost their dads this year, two blokes had lost their brothers, and we'd all lost the best mate. So that's why we always catch up and keep an eye on everyone. And all we do basically is eat, drink and laugh for 2 or 3 days. Started at the, we met at the Port Wakefield pub on Thursday. Did so, have you been to the Rising Sun?
Yeah, I have.
What a beautiful little pub. Yeah. It would be one of the nicest country pubs going around. A lad called Dylan runs that, and his wife, and they had the Malala pub, if you ever called in there after the Balaclava Cup. So we started there and got off and do a good start there on the Oaks Day and made a few dollars there, Dits, and then went over to through Ardrossan and Price. Have you been down to those little?
Nice, beautiful.
Cooled down there. And ended up at Black Point, which is where we hired a couple of shacks down there for a couple of days. Too windy to go crabbing and fishing. We'd had that planned on Friday and Saturday, so that got cancelled. So the B-grade coach of Ardrossan, who happens to own a bus, picked us up and took us to the brewery over there at Minlaton. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. What brewery is that?
What's a Cowie?
Okay.
Brewery.
Yeah.
Great little brewery in the middle of nowhere, just in a tin shed in a small town on the York Peninsula with a heap of beers and a great little place to call in if you've had your fishing cancelled on your weekend away. Quite a busy little place, but keep that one in mind. We did that on Friday. Saturday, we went down to the Vetnor, down at Port Vincent.
Yep.
Beautiful little
great
spot.
Pub, yeah.
Ran into the Triple M farmer down there.
No way.
He just happened to be down there.
He would have been working, surely.
Well,
he would have been out doing his crops.
It was funny. He had his work clothes on.
Right.
So he wasn't working. He was just said, oh, it's just a little bit too moist to start reaping the crops. So they're all about to go flat out, all the farmers over there.
Right.
It is time to get the money in the bank for all the farmers over there. So the Triple M farmer happened to be down there for a few hours on Saturday afternoon, which was good to catch up with him. He actually bought a couple of beers, did.
No. Now, I've believed everything you've said up until now.
No, he did.
Get out.
He did. I think he knows he's about to get a few dollars off the Triple M farm. He'll be working day and night for the next month trying to get all the crops off before Christmas. So, we had a day down there and then back to the shack, and we won the quaddy on Saturday, got the Melbourne quaddy on Saturday over there, which was a good result for all concerned. So,
Is there any money left in Port Vincent?
Well, I had to sign any money laundering form and shut the tabs in. Well, anything.
Anti-money laundering.
The bloke shut down. He had to get my driver's license and everything. Yeah. Whenever you put a ticket in and you get over a certain amount, it shuts it down. So the pub wasn't too happy. But anyway, that was 30 blokes and a few hangers on us in there. And I reckon your lad might have even been there.
Yeah, he was there. So you've led my son astray.
No, I didn't lead him astray. Yeah. I think he was doing a good job of that himself. I think he chip off the old block. So a good little weekend away. Yeah. Also, hey, when we were driving over on Thursday, you probably heard it on the radio, there was a crash at so that was happening just as we were about to leave the pub, and we saw the truck there, and the car was not a pretty sight. That's the intersection that they're going to build a overpass on.
Let's hope they fix it
years.
Real quick.
They call it Crash Corner.
Which isn't
so,
good.
So not good at all. Nah.
All right, good on you, Roo. Well, I'm glad you had a great weekend. Yeah. Now we're not far away from giving away some VIP tickets to our 5th birthday. Ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Roo, when we signed off on Friday, we were told there were 70-odd fires burning out of control in New South Wales and southern Queensland.
Yep.
Today, that number has risen dramatically.
Yeah, from what we hear, it's risen to 100, Dits, and a lot of those are out of control.
All right, in the central part of Queensland, Channel 9 News, Brianna Scully is there. Brianna, good morning. I'm just wondering, how on earth are we getting enough people on the ground to try and control these fires? How's it happening and where are they all coming from?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Well, we've got 48 fires currently burning across the state. And like you said, there's so much going on here. So it is really difficult for resources to get out. And as you can imagine, those fireys, especially in regional areas, they've been working here for several days now, and they're waiting for some much needed reprieve. Now, I'm here at the disaster hub in Yeppoon. Now, this is the brains behind the operation here in central Queensland. So essentially, we have two major fires here, Cobrabool and Bungandurra, and Adelaide Park as well. They're both at prepare to leave, watch and act levels, but they have yesterday and the day before been at seek shelter and emergency level warnings as well. So as you can imagine, it's pretty serious out here. Now, their game plan today, they're going to get some teams together. Now, in this control room here, you know, they lobby for resources from elsewhere. We have had 10 aircraft in the sky and more than 50 crew out on the ground yesterday. Now, they're going to see if they can get some help from south of the border. But as you know, they're having a hard time down there as well. So it'll all be about planning and seeing what we can lobby in terms of getting support and reprieve for our fireys up here. Now, these fires here in central Queensland, we were out on the ground yesterday. We saw four homes ourselves that were lost, but that number is expected to jump quite significantly. Authorities have confirmed 16 structures have been damaged or destroyed so far in this Capricorn Coast area. But the problem is, you know, a lot of those fireys, they can't actually access those areas. They're not safe to get out to. So there's a lot that we don't know at this stage. We've had residents that have had to flee their homes in the middle of the night. They've spent two nights now at evacuation centres in Yeppoon, north of Rocky, and they just have no idea what's awaiting them at home. They have no idea if their homes are standing at all or if they've been destroyed. But it has actually been really quite heartwarming to see the community spirit here. You know, we've seen kids dropping off cookies at the shelters, and, you know, people seeing their friends that they've met at book clubs, and everyone's supporting each other. And it is really lovely to see in, you know, such a hard time.
How tired is everyone, and what's it like? Is there panic? Is there control? You know, how many people are running the show there? Just explain what it's like at that home base.
I mean, here at the Disaster Hub, it's early in the morning, so we do have a couple of people here. We're expected to get, you know, more fireys, police and council workers in throughout the day. The mayor has arrived here early this morning, so they're going to get some teams put together essentially, and then they're going to say, you know, what areas do we want to go out and check out this morning? Because, you know, as you can imagine, if you're a resident, you want to know if you can go home. You want to see if your home is still standing. So that's their main focus today, is getting out there and seeing what they can actually do for these locals who are anxiously awaiting the news. So we do have a lot of workers behind the scenes, you know, doing all the logistics. But of course, we've got, you know, more than 50 crews on the ground. And like I said earlier, you know, in regional places, it is really tough for these guys. They do a lot of hard work. Some of them have worked 24 hours straight. So I can't even begin to imagine, you know, how tired they are at the moment.
Mm. Brianna, thanks so much for joining us. Brianna Scully from National 9 News out there in central Queensland. As far as New South Wales is concerned, a new level was brought into being last year called catastrophic, and that's where it's at right now. They're saying that the city of Sydney is under threat. So today, people need to be vigilant. Now, three people have died so far. Three have lost their lives in the New South Wales fires, where there are in excess of 70-odd fires burning out of control. It's just massive.
Yeah, and over 150 homes already lost it. So that'll be updated throughout the day.
Yep. All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Roo, I said to you, my favourite sports story, not only over the weekend, maybe for a long time.
Well, did someone get 5 wickets or 10 for the match?
Close to it. Close to
100?
Yeah.
A double hundred.
So New Zealand are playing England in a T20 game, and during the break...
Jeez, you've had a busy weekend players, if you're watching New Zealand and England in a T20.
Hear me out. Your interest would have been sparked as well. The players are sitting around, and the Kiwi players happen to say to the Pommy players, you know that bloke that's umpiring? Like, this is an international umpire.
What, they're not happy with the umpire?
Garth Stewart. No, no, they're very happy with him. In fact, their respect went through the roof when they found this out. He's a porn star. The man standing at the end, yeah, operating at the whatever, the non-striker's end, is Garth Stewart, who also goes by the name of Steve Parnell. And then, of course, the Pommy players
Super
go, nah,
Steve,
you're making this up. And they go, no, it's true. He appeared in a movie. His best film, in my opinion, was Sex Around the World. That was
Sex
his best.
Sex Around the World.
He also did a centerfold shoot for a magazine where he was caught in all sorts of different positions, if you don't mind, with some ladies. So Garth goes by the name of Steve Parnell. Anyway, there's more to this. So they investigate. Of course, all the players start Googling him and reading up on him. And it turns out, right? Now, and this is 10 years ago, he was a porn star. Anyway, he's quite smart because he got the job. He secured the job as CEO of the New Zealand PGA. He ran golf in New Zealand
right,
until they found out about his sordid past. And then they sacked him over it.
Oh, now, you couldn't. Why can you be sacked for your past?
No, well, he did. He was sacked. I'm just wondering how the job interview went. When he went for that job interview at the New Zealand PGA, and they said previous experience.
Show me your resume.
Porn star. You've got the job. Who appointed him? Anyway, I'm just looking forward to I've just seen the umpiring appointments for the Australia-Pakistan test at the Adelaide Oval at the end of the month. John Holmes is the umpire.
Holmes.
Yeah. And I've got Debbie Does Dallas singing the national anthem.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. But isn't that a beautiful
Steve
little story?
Parnell. Yeah. I reckon he could take that to the tribunal for
and the other thing
unfair
is,
dismissal.
I feel sorry for Garth or Steve, whatever his real name is, because he's now had to explain to his wife because she actually wasn't aware of his porn career. So he's had... No, they've interviewed her and she said, I know nothing. I have no knowledge of this.
He was amazing in bed.
He's had a lot of experience. Where did you learn these tricks?
I've travelled a lot. Yeah. Steve around the world.
That's a sticky wicket right there for poor Steve,
no.
isn't it?
Come on,
anyway, I did like that story over the weekend, Roo.
His wife didn't.
No, she's very upset.
She's not very happy at all.
Not happy at all. Mm. No. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hello, Lemo, on this Monday morning.
G'day, guys. I've missed you since Friday, Dits.
Yeah.
Nice to
helping
be back.
Us out.
Good on you, Lima.
The part-timer's back. He's back at work today.
Yeah. I'm back. I was in the car park this morning, and when I saw a real arrive, I thought, bugger, I can't go back in for the full show
had
today.
To get out of his car park.
That's right. And, Roo, good to hear you had a good weekend as well, mate. And you know what I love about this team? Everything functioning smoothly. Everyone's happy. Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, I wish I could say the same for the Today Show. Well, Carl Stefanovic stepping back in there, as we know.
Mm.
Tony Jones has said, that's it. I'm quitting. I've had enough.
Really?
Is he out quitting? As well?
Yeah, he's out. He's
really?
Out. And I think they may have some chemistry issues there at the moment. I think TJ is not getting on with his team. Have a listen. This is from Friday morning, okay?
Mm.
Tony Jones is out at Flemington Racetrack. Tom Steinfort, Deb Knight and Georgie Gardner are in the studio. Tell me how you think the chemistry's going between this team.
What would you put on the menu, if you reckon? If you were to give the French a real taste of Australiana.
A kangaroo burger, maybe?
Yeah, why? You're just going to slaughter a kangaroo, would you, Georgie?
Kangaroo meat is readily available across Australia. That's not uncommon.
You can't eat Skippy. You can't eat
plenty
Skippy,
do.
I'm sorry.
Is Archie with you today? Is Archie with you today, TJ?
Deb, we're at a racetrack. Probably not a great idea to bring the dog, I wouldn't have thought.
I thought it might be good to have Archie there to kind of cheer you up.
I'm in a great mood. It's Friday. I'm in a fantastic mood and I just love being here. But I don't think a racetrack would have been the appropriate venue to bring my cavoodle.
Okay, well, sorry for asking. Never mind. All right. Good on you, TJ. Thank you.
Just working beautifully there.
Oh, no.
I think it might be time for everyone to hang up their boots.
That's forks on the left, knives in the back, isn't it?
Time for a team meeting, I think, Lemo.
I think someone needs to rip that lot in the line. TJ, I think he might be finishing up tomorrow. Or maybe
so what, he doesn't like Carl or...?
I think he's just had enough of the early mornings, enough of working both ends of the day. And if you can tell there, I think it's making him a bit grumpy.
Yeah, a little bit short, wasn't he, about the kangaroo comment?
Yeah, indeed. Hey, and now, guys, on that, Roo, while you were away on Friday, I was talking to Dits about this pigeon at the War Memorial. I don't know if you heard this story, that had been stealing poppies at the War Memorial and had made a nest out of them.
Pigeon poppy stealer.
Pigeon poppy stealer. And people were calling this pigeon un-Australian. Well, on this Remembrance Day, it might be worth pointing out, I've done a bit of research over the weekend. Did you know, get a load of this, 13,500 pigeons were enlisted by the Australian Army during World War II?
Really?
And Lemo, after we spoke about this Friday, I did see where a pigeon actually was given a medal. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. You know, two of those Australian pigeons, Dits, have received the Dickon Medal, which is the animal equivalent of the Victoria Cross.
Really? How do you pin it on their chest?
Are you hanging around their neck, bro?
You're hanging around their neck, mate.
Yeah.
Must be hard to fly around with it.
Still, you weighed him down a bit.
No, you'll see him on Anzac Day in the back of a ute. with the medals around their necks. And the most famous pigeon is called Sher Ami, during World War One, right, was flying to deliver a message, got shot, right, lost a leg, continued on.
Oh. Right. Did they have slug guns in the war?
they did indeed. Right. And delivered a message that saved the lives of 194 men
wow.
In France. Yeah. Yeah. And that pigeon is now stuffed.
Oh, bet he is. He flew a few miles.
He's now stuffed and sitting in the Smithsonian Institute in America.
How do pigeons talk to deliver messages?
It's sign language. They do it with their feet.
Yeah, but he got one shut off. He only had half the story.
He only delivered half the message. He would have saved 380 men if he delivered the full message.
Or 360.
Or 360. Whatever the maths is.
Good on you, Limo. Oh,
there you go.
You are an accountant, aren't you?
I'm good with numbers. Where's my calculator?
That's why he got into stand-up.
Let me audit these numbers. I'll get back to you Thursday, guys.
All right, Limo. All right. Have a good Remembrance Day.
Cheers.
In a moment, Roo, we're going to talk about shit towns in Australia. One of our towns has been nominated.
Oh, I'm uneasy about this.
Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Roo and Ditts here on Triple M on this Monday morning, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Roo, I read with absolute shock this morning. There's a competition on Facebook, which I'm not a part of, but a lot of people are, obviously. Shit Town of the Year. Can you believe that's for a title? Yeah, in Australia.
Who would do this?
And there's a book coming out about it later this month. Now, can I just give you the list of towns? Kalgoorlie, Tennant Creek, Mount Isa, Logan, Dubbo, and cop this, our very own Mount Gambier. Oh, I love Mount Gambier.
It's a great town. I've been through there. We had a great time. Been there plenty of times.
I love
a lot
the South East.
People have come out of Mount Gambier.
Can you believe this? So people are mounting this campaign. You can go online on Facebook, and they've had over 150,000 people vote. And as I said, they're bringing out a book. Someone's writing a book about all of these towns. I just can't believe this.
No, this is what's happening these days, Ditts, and the Mount Gambier people will not be happy.
No, well, let's go to our sister radio station down there now, Triple M in Mount Gambier, and the brekkie host is Ewan Grant. Ewan, good morning. What is the reaction of people in Mount Gambier this morning?
Boys, I am shocked. I really am. It is terrible to think that we have been listed on this list of towns, these brilliant towns across Australia, and we have made it. I mean, it's all a matter of perspective, really. Who are these people who are voting for Mount Gambier as being one of the crappest places in the country?
Mm. Yeah, look, Mount Gambier is a great town, isn't it?
Fiercely local. I am so proud of the Mount Gambier community. It is an amazing place to be.
Top three things you like about Mount Gambier, Ewan. What have you got for us?
Top three things. Valley Lakes. We live in one of the best parts of the country. We've got a volcano on our doorstep. It is a beautiful place.
See, not every town's got a volcano, has it?
No.
Bloody oath, that's the thing. We have the Coonawarra just up the road, of course.
Nice.
Red wine,
like it,
absolutely sensational. And look, the fact that we are in the centre of Melbourne and Adelaide, you can go to either capital, you can be moments away from every experience under the sun. Mount Gambier is the best place in Australia, boys.
Now that I sum it up, Ewan, you've said there's a volcano there, which is a fair reason to leave. The Coonawarra is actually down the road. And what you're saying is if you want to go to Melbourne or Adelaide, you pass through it.
Well,
you haven't given
it's
us a
its
lot.
Place. It's got its place.
You haven't given a lot to hang your hat on, really.
Hey, boys, what I love about the Mount Gambier community is the fact that we band together. We are the second largest city in South Australia, and it is the perfect place to visit to get away from the likes of Adelaide.
Second largest to Adelaide too, by the way, aren't you? You're the biggest country town outside of Adelaide.
Yeah.
We are, mate, we are.
I think that's what he just said, Ruth.
Yeah, well, I was just pointing it out. Second largest.
Right. There's an echo in here, Ewan. Anyway, Ewan, thanks for joining us this morning. And you've really allayed my fears as to, you know, the fact that Mount Gambier really isn't a shit place. Yeah.
Boys, send everybody our way. They're going to love it.
All right. Good on you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Bit unfair, bit harsh.
No, I don't
By the way, and with the publicity
Kalgoorlie's
shots,
a good town too.
All of these towns are obviously up in arms. And Kalgoorlie, it's funny, the mayor and some locals have taken a photo promoting their town in front of, this is a tourist attraction, the world's tallest bin. Now,
when you want to promote your hat on, isn't it?
So, you know, we've got, you know, a lot of towns have got the big
glow. Big orange, and, yeah, big pineapple.
Big rocking chair and all
big
of that.
Big crayfish.
Yeah, they've got the world's tallest bin in Kalgoorlie.
And they'll put all those books in there.
Yeah, very good. Exactly. And light the thing. All right, Ruin Dits here on Triple M. In a moment, your chance to win VIP tickets to the fifth birthday brekkie. Talking about Mangambia being a shit town, Roo. Marcus from Reeves Plains has called in. Hello, Marcus.
G'day. We went through Mangambia on a road trip with the family earlier this year, and one of the pubs has a big schnitzel menu, and they have a gyros schnitzel, which is absolutely awesome.
A gyros schnitzel?
Oh, it's magnificent.
Very well. There you go. That's worth the drive. Yeah. 4.5 hours to get there.
Where's
for that.
Reeves Plains?
Between Two Wells and Gawler.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Tell me, top thing I'd see in Reeves Plains. Yeah.
It can't be Marcus.
The sign saying thank you for visiting Reeves Plains. Righto, thanks, Marcus.
Okay, see ya.
Ladies, Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits, Angels.
Oh, good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Alice the way. Ange, you're not joining in this morning? Come on, Ange. What's going on? Good morning, Ange.
Hi, good morning.
Oh,
I had the wrong headphones.
Batey from our sales team, Ange from the sales team, and Alice the Wag. Hey, on the back, on the aftermath through of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, the Spring Carnival, a lot of talk about the fashion, obviously, with the ladies. Big push towards pantsuits.
Yeah.
Ladies wearing pants.
As opposed to dresses or skirts.
Skirts and dresses. Do you have an opinion on this, Roo?
I don't mind either, to be honest, as long as they scrub up all right.
Bit of a leg man myself. I like skirt and dresses.
Yeah, but I think the pants sort of, while you don't see the legs, you can see the legs.
You've got to use your imagination, do you?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right, Alice, pantsuits or dresses?
I love a good pantsuit, but the thing is, if you're not showing off your legs, so that if you've got pants on, you should show a bit of cleave, so have it open a bit at the top.
What, one or the other?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the rule?
If you got boobs out, cover legs. If you got legs out, cover the boobs.
And not both?
Nah, both is too much.
Right. Okay, good rule.
Do you agree with that, Dits?
Yeah, no, I like it. I hadn't thought of that, but...
Did you like the both is too much?
Too much, yeah. We need a bit of class. Still got to be classy.
Yes.
Batey?
Well, I reckon I've worn a dress once in like the last 4 years, so I'm
really?
All of... Yeah, I don't like do them. I can't. I'm just not girly enough, so pantsuits are exactly my vibe.
What do you mean you're not girly enough?
Yeah, just not...
You are a girly
just
girly.
Just too feminine. I wouldn't say I'm a feminine person.
Okay. Yeah. Funny enough, you look like a girl to me. Ange.
I love a tailored pantsuit. Like, I like a little bit of a power dress, but I agree you have to sexy it up.
Hang on, what's a power dress?
A power suit, so you feel powerful, you know.
Oh,
like, but
right.
It's a like it's a slim fitting suit.
Vibe.
Yeah, with the stiletto, bit of a boob, you know, or a lacy bra or something to make it look feminine.
Right.
You got to wear the high heels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you look like you got skinny legs and boobs out. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
The whole package. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to flowers now. Flowers, Batey, we're told that you are the flower queen. You get them about, what, once a month, a massive bunch delivered here to work. Does the novelty wear off or not?
Look, I got them a lot when Peter was overseas and away. Now we live together. It's dropped off significantly.
Is that a message to you? Pete?
Hope you're listening. But I have to admit,
everything
it did
drops off after
towards
a while.
The end. You're damn right. But no, towards the end, it did lose its effect a little bit. But it was more the thought because we were long distance. And so, like, it was really nice.
Right.
But I think now we live together, I wouldn't really appreciate it.
Now, I've asked this question a million times. And I never seem to get the true answer. Is it the fact that you're sitting in a crowded office and everyone's looking at you because the flowers come in and everyone's going, who are they for? Who are they for? Oh, Batey, you got the flowers. Is it the centre of attention or do you actually really like the flowers?
To be honest, I really liked the card. So, like, he'd always leave something really sweet in the card. So that was the part that I actually really liked.
Okay.
The flowers are nice.
Well, miss you, babe.
Yeah, it was always something really cute. Or, like, he had a countdown going at one time. Those were the days.
A countdown? So you see each other again.
Yeah, when he was in Iraq. So we'd have, like,
he
seven,
also
six,
really
five.
Liked the attention.
To be honest, I don't really love that side because everyone comes up and like, what's it say? What does it say? Like, for the whole day. So not really.
Ange, flowers?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. The package, I'll probably get an iron or something. I think the last thing I got was a steamer.
Oh, no.
Come on,
like
Mr. South Australia.
No. Last it was my birthday a few weeks ago. I got some flowers from him and the kids. That was nice.
Right.
But he's not. I used to have fresh flowers like every week, but then they die and it was like a waste of money. Yeah. But now it's all gone to plants, indoor plants. So just buy a few of them and they last a bit longer.
Right.
But again, I'm buying them for myself.
Alice the Wag.
My rule with flowers is don't buy them if you've done something wrong. Like the best time to get them is just like as a surprise. Like I was thinking of your babe. Here's a bunch of flowers. Like that is so much nicer.
Really?
I stuffed up again. Here's some little lilies.
Yeah. It'd feel like just snapping them and chucking them in the bin.
Yeah, but I also really like them anytime. Mm. But I hate throwing them out. It's so sad. I always make him throw them out, even though I never really get them. But anyway.
They reckon depending on your star sign, you should have flowers according to your star sign as well. That's the latest thing out. Now, what star sign are you girls?
Libra.
Right.
Oh, all of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 23rd of September to the 23rd of October.
What's their flower, Ruth?
Their flower are roses, Dits.
Righto.
Libras have a clear sense of right and wrong and are often incredibly balanced, much like a perfectly composed rose.
God, I bet you.
Aren't we beautiful?
Garbage.
We're just gorgeous.
Righto. Thanks, angels.
Thanks.
Triple M. On Ruined Dits for Breakfast. It's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Ah, Peter Ford, good morning. How well did the Block contestants do?
Oh, they did extremely well. I mean, all of them did well. Even the bottom ones got over $300,000. But
wow.
Tess and Luke were the winners. They took home, well, total of $730,000. $100,000, that is the bonus they get for coming first.
Right.
But they are the people who a couple of weeks ago were bagging the show, saying, you know, it's terrible. We wish we'd never got involved. The editing makes us look horrible and whatever, whatever. So I reckon their tune might have changed a bit in the last 48 hours.
Yeah,
they've done very well. A total of $2.3 million in profit shared by all the contestants.
Well, that's a good result.
All right, looking back, Peter, another successful series. Will it go again? Has it got longevity? Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And when people hear about these sort of results, people think, you know what, I might get involved in the next one. I might apply to go on. It really motivates people. Plus, if you own a really shoddy backpackers hostel, like this one was originally, people will be thinking, gee, I might see if I can sell my joint to the Block.
Mm. They'd never take it out of Melbourne, would they? Or
no, I don't think so. It's just a lot easier now. They even try to stick to the same areas because they have really good relationships with the local councils and stuff, which is very important, just in terms of really basic things like, you know, parking for the crews and all that kind of stuff. It just makes life easier when you've got established relationships.
All right. Today on Channel 9, we keep hearing about it. This has just been a weird, weird story. Getting rid of Carl and now they're going to bring him back. And Geordie Gardner, gee, over the weekend reading her comments, she is not happy at all.
Oh, she's cracked it, hasn't she? She's really cracked it. And she wasn't there this morning, and that's her choice. She didn't want to go back and do a farewell lap or anything like that. And by default, actually, Ali Langdon, who is the new co-host of the show, she has ended up on the Today Show this morning, pretty much co-hosting it, because she's up at those terrible fires up in northern New South Wales. And she'd been there for the weekend Today Show, and they said, stay there. And so she's ended up on the show. But Carl won't officially start until next year. But I reckon you might see Ali Langdon and Carl together on doing something like Carols by Candlelight to kind of ease them into the audience as a bit of a promotional thing. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens and how it plays out. What you don't want to have happen with Carl is like a sugar hit for a month. Everyone gets very excited and then it goes back to being, oh, Carl's so annoying, I can't stand him. You know, that's what you don't want to have happen.
What about Tony Jones? Why did they have a little on-air blue last week? Are they sort of not even happy, that little group?
Yeah, I saw that. And Tony Jones has already said, oh, I'm not getting involved with the show again, I'm out of there. So he's not going to be a part of it by his choice. And I think that clip that went viral the other day really emphasised it. You know, Tony does his spiel and they just didn't seem to get it. They didn't seem to like the jokes. They didn't seem to respond to the jokes. And, you know, that's the problem with Deb Knight and with Georgie Gardner. And no disrespect to either of them. They're really good at what, you know, they are really good presenters and journalists, but there just wasn't a lot of fun. There was no sense of banter or spark there between any of them, you know.
Yeah. Rock and Rod Stewart's on his way.
What have you done to him?
What have you done?
Well, he's not coming anywhere near Adelaide. Absolutely bypassing you. How rank is that? So this is not happening until October of next year, so it's still a way off. But he's got Perth, he's got Sydney, he's got the Hunter Valley, he's got Melbourne, Canberra.
Hunter Valley?
I know. It's not even a sign of going anywhere near Adelaide. So I don't know what you've done.
Hey, Pete, we always do petitions and we get them to come here after a petition, and that's just
You've got to go the charity way.
We got done by the Hunter Valley. Unbelievable.
So we've been done by the Hunter Valley.
Incredible. All right. Good on you, Pete. Thanks for the heads up. We'll get on to that.
Have fun.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's happening all the time, isn't it?
But not by the Hunter Valley. Mm. That's a new... Not that there's anything wrong with the Hunter Valley.
That is low.
Anyway.
Righto. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Hey, Ru, once again, very, very big, big congratulations to Tex Walker and Ellie.
Yes.
Who had their little baby. I think it must have been on Friday, was it?
Thursday.
I think. So anyway, as you do, because, you know, I'm a big fan of Texas. So I sent him a message saying, well done. Mm. And, of course, the baby's name is Hugo. And I sent through. I said, what was wrong with Chris? And he shot back straight away. I didn't want him getting bullied all his life. And then I sent back. I said, I've got him a port beanie. And he sent back, Mum and Dad need something for the toilet paper, which is very rude and disrespectful. Mm. But nah, but we're so happy for
You've
Tex.
You've got such a close relationship with Tex, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, my good mate. Mm. I love Tex. And I'm so happy for them. I really am.
You
so
guys tried to... Get him about 5 years ago, didn't you, Paul?
Get him what? To play for us?
Yeah.
He wouldn't make our side. Come on.
Oh,
as if we would have got
that's
him.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
You had all those powerful forwards, didn't you, a few years ago.
Hey, I like him, but he's not playing for us.
No, he's
There's
not
no way.
Port,
no. no way
now
in
he,
the
now
world.
That you couldn't get him.
No. Hey, Ru, before the end of the show, in fact, we might do this now, right? We've got something to give away here.
What do you got?
This is just a random prize, but we've been given this.
You sure you meant to give it away?
Let me check with Alice the Wag. Let me check. We'll come back.
No, you are.
We are allowed to. All right.
Okay.
Hey, this is the Matildas taking on Chile. All thanks to Fox Sports, all right, where you can see the Matildas and Chile 7 p.m. Tomorrow night live, ad break free during play.
Yeah.
This is a double pass, and you'll also get the experience of heading out on the field during their warm-up.
Well, you actually get
yeah,
out on the
get
field.
Get out there on the field at Hindmarsh to experience the warm-up. So
that's pretty cool out there on the ground.
A unique prize. So ring now. We'll just give this away randomly, all right? If you're into your football, your soccer, and you want to go and see the Matildas and Chile tomorrow night, ring now, 133353.
That's it for today, Dits. It's all over, but after a nine, which it is already now, Triple M is doing our one repeat workday. Yeah. So if you hear Cold Chisel twice between 9 and 3 today, and you're the first caller through, you'll win a double to see Cold Chisel down at Glenelg in early January, which... is going to be a cracking concert, I would have thought.
It will indeed.
So that's it. Tomorrow we'll have Tex Walker, we'll have the grumpy old men, we'll have Will Anderson, and we'll have a great day. So enjoy the heat today, everyone. See you then.
See you tomorrow.